Gabriel.
Okay, today's daf is daf. Okay, the last thing we learned was that according to Rabbi Yosef, the machloket about whether you need to know what it is precisely the value of the shavah kesef that you're giving to a woman is talk about even where it was agreed that it doesn't matter what it's worth. And you said take it for whatever it's worth. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yosef said, doesn't help. Because in the same way that kesef is by definition well-defined, it's kayitz, so too shavah kesef has to be kayitz because we learn it out of the same pasuk. Omer Rav Yosef, so today on the top line, Rav Yosef continues to prove his contention. Omer Rav Yosef, I want to prove to you that I am right in saying that Shavah Kesef doesn't effectuate Kinyonim unless it's defined with a particular value. In the case we're talking about before, that you had assessors that gave an assessment, and now we know precisely what it's worth. D'tanya. Because we have a braita that discusses the posik about a pidyon, eved ivri. So it says over there, in od rabot bashanim, if there's still many years left now, and for the time that he has to work, and then we prorate it. So lefihem yashiv geulato mikesev miknato. You deduct the value of the years worked from the price that had been initially paid, and then if that is paid back to the ordain, so now he goes out, that eved ivri goes out for free. Now, that the Braita takes that pasuk. It says mikesev miknato, which teaches us bikesev hu nikne ve'enu nikne b'tvu'a bekelim. You can buy back an eved ivri by paying off the odin with cash, but you can't pay him by using, let's say, grain or some type of utensils. Now, let me ask you, says Rabbi Yosef, how do you understand the Braita? Hay tvu'a bekelim echidami. Are you trying to tell me that that is not a usable kinyan? That shavah kesef is not usable? You have to pay actual money? We know that we darshan from the continuation of this pasuk, modra bot bashanim, lefihem yashiv geulato, mikesef miknato. None of which is necessary. It doesn't have to say yashiv geulato. It's completely unnecessary. It should say, lefihem, according to the prorating, and that's it. Gulato. Lefihem gulato. I mean, we're talking about redeeming him, paying the money back. All you needed to say was prorate, and that way redeem. Instead you say prorate, and then hand over the redemption to redeem. Why do you have to say that? Must be to teach me that it's also possible to hand over something else. And we darshan that indeed to mean l'rabot shavah kesef kikesef. You do not have to use cash in order to force the sell back of an eved ivri. So therefore it cannot mean that you can't use the kesef, kelim and the tvua. So now let me ask you further. If it's talking about where the kelim and the tvua do not have the value that the kesef has, so then either let b'shava brute, if it doesn't have the value, then ma'ari tvua v'kelim. Forget about whether you could use anything at all, you couldn't even use cash. If the cash doesn't have a value of a prut, it doesn't have a din of cash either. So that would be completely irrelevant to say you cannot use tvua kelim, you have to use cash. Elolav, we've got to be talking about the itbush of a prut. It certainly has value. The problem over here is that kiven de lo kaitse, lo. It's talking about where you have tvua v'kelim. Tvua v'kelim is something which, generally speaking, I don't know a precise value. I'd have to take it to experts, and they'd have to give me an up-to-date, accurate description of its current market value. Since that's unlikely, so what the Braita simply says is, well, you can't use something like that. So how are we supposed to utilize something whose value we don't know, even though we could agree on a value? Well, there's a guy. I could say, "Look, I'm going to give you so much; it's worth far more than the years that the eved has to work." Right? Wouldn't work. Why? Says Rabbi Yosef. The only explanation is that it needs to be kayitz, and over here it's not. It's not well defined. The ida. So, how about now the other pshat we had, Rabbi's pshat this morning, in which he denied the need to have a specific value on shavah kesef. According to him, the only problem that we would have in Kiddushin is a problem of smichut da'at. If a woman isn't sure what it's worth, so she may not be really wholeheartedly believing in this Kenyan, because it may turn out she's being taken advantage of. But if the agreement is up front, look, it's not worth anything, okay? It's worth a penny. We agreed it's worth a penny. Then there would be no problem. So how does he understand this brayta, which seems to be saying that there's something innately wrong with kesef that takes the form of tuva kelim? So the idach, what's Rabbi going to say? Hachikama. Rabbi says, you completely misunderstand what the brayta is saying. The brayta is not saying you cannot use tuva kelim. Well, why would we list tuva kelim of all? You can list anything. The point over here is that the brayta is trying to tell you there's two different types of kinyonim. One is kesef. We had this way back before at the beginning of the Masechta. Then we have something that looks like kesef, which is bartering. That's chalipin. The bartering does not require value because it's only a formalization of a barter. I could have made a transfer into a bank account. I still need to do the formal barter. I'll give you my shoe and you take the shoe. And that way you get the $500 million that I put into your bank account. You get to keep it. So therefore, what it's saying over here is that the Torah is saying you can only buy back an Eved Ivri if you present cash as a Kenyan Kesef, but not Bitorat Tvua Bekem, not the type of Kenyan that is generally made with commodities instead of cash. What Kenyan is generally made? Trading. But trading is Chalipin. Therefore, the way that he puts it is, talk to me about cash, don't talk to me about commodities. Obviously, if you give him a commodity as cash, of course it's the same thing. But that's not what we're talking about over here. And there's not even a hint of a halacha here, says Rabbi Rav Yosef, that a commodity as cash has to be well defined by expert assessment. Where does it say that? I say it means something completely different. Oh yeah, says the Lord. All right, let me finish that. Not b'Torah Tvav Kelim. My Nino, what is Torah Tvav Kelim? That which is generally bartered, chalipin, says Rav Yosef. Aha. And what would you say, Rabbi, according to Rav Nachman, where Rav Nachman holds that perot lo avdi chalipin, that perot are not the way to make chalipin anyway. So how could we talk about Torah Tvua if we don't use kelim? We don't use Tvua for chalipin. So it can't be referring to what you're claiming. So how can you explain it? Okay, I can explain it anyway. I explain it like this. The truth is, it is not worth cash, because it's worth less than a shavar pruta. Vidika amrit, so you said, so then what's the point? I mean, you couldn't even use cash. That doesn't have a value of a shavar pruta. Obviously, you can't use tefuah bekelim. It doesn't have a value. Why would it be better? Vidika amrit, mayari tefuah bekelim, afilu kesev nami? You're saying you couldn't even use cash? I say just the opposite. There is a basis for thinking that even though as cash it's useless, it would still be useful as a commodity. For a very simple reason. And what it's saying is lo mi boy kamar. Not only cash is what it's saying. The opposite of what you claim. In other words, lo mi boy kesef, the definition of cash is an assigned value above a shavar pruta. If you don't have a shavar pruta, for all intents and purposes, it isn't cash. So lomi by kesef de'eet pe shavar pruta, then you can use it, but he let pe shavar pruta lo. You would have thought, aval, when it comes to tefuah v'kelim, you might have said, ema, midika mekarvaha na'ya atayu. Look, I mean, the bottom line is a commodity is something that I'm going to use. I don't abstract the value of a commodity. I use it. I need to analyze now whether it's a shavar pruta or not. Is it usable? Am I going to eat it? Am I going to enjoy it? What's the difference? Shavar pruta, not shavar pruta, din of shavar pruta may be specifically a din in designated cash. So over here, there's more of a reason to think that it would be better if I use a commodity than if I use cash. And therefore, I could give such a thing to an odin and use it for redemption. Because it's mikarva, it's right up against the hana that you're going to get from it. Doesn't have to be translated to something else but walk into a store. So because of that, Gomer Amakta Nafshe. Perhaps even on that lower level of value, it's still meaningful. Kamashmalan, the nonetheless minimal designation of the exchange, value exchange, has Rishavar Pruta. But it's still not saying anything about the nature of a commodity, that the commodity has to be well defined. That's not the point at all. Okay, he says, Rabbi Yosef, if you don't like this proof, I'll bring you another proof. Okay? Omer Rabbi Yosef, fine. Let me show you another basis where you're going to have to agree with me that the commodity has got to be well-defined in order to use it. The Tanya. Egel zeh lepidyon b'ni. A guy presents a calf. He says, okay, take this calf, gives the coin. The coin is supposed to be receiving chamisha shkalim. And he says, take the calf in lieu of the chamisha shkalim. Or talit zeh lepidyon b'ni. Lo ama klum. It's nonsense. It's useless. Even if he hands it over to the coin. But on the other hand, if he says, egel zeh b'chamish shlayim lepidyon b'ni. Talit zu b'chamish shlayim lepidyon b'ni. Then, b'no padui. This commodity of 5 shekel for the pidyon ben, that, on the other hand, is okay. Now, I ask you once again, Echidab, please explain to me what the difference is. What, are we talking about that in reality it's not worth the chamish shekelim? So, Elaim et Elor Shaveh, if you tell me it really isn't worth it, so what? He's going to tell the coin, why don't you accept this piece of garbage in lieu of the chamisha shkalim, where this thing is only worth a pruta? I mean, that's absurd. So that wouldn't have helped. Kol kamine, does he have that ability to arbitrarily assign a value when that is not its value? So forget about that. Elalav, what have we got to be talking about, is afagav dishavi, even though it actually is worth that amount of money. Aha! Says Rabbi Yosef, you see, if you have something which is worth chamisha shkalim, but you cannot prove with an assessor's document that it's worth chamisha shkalim, maybe it's worth 10 shkalim, and everybody agrees, oh, definitely worth more than 5 shkalim, doesn't help you, because it doesn't say what its value is. So Mamelet proves that kivan delo kaitse, since it has not been defined by an assessment, it's useless, and you can't use it for your opinion on Ben Lo. Ha! Exactly what I've been saying. Says Robert, no, doesn't mean that at all. Actually, it could be talking about lo olam delo shavi. It really is not worth the chamisha shkalim. So if you try to make an exchange to the coin by giving him an ego that's not worth chamisha shkalim, obviously, lo amaku, benoi no padui. But the case where he says, take this egel as chamisha shkalim, is talking about that he's telling the Kohen, look, if it's to you worth 5 shkalim, you know what its market value is. Can you use this right now? You're ready to accept it as 5 shkalim? Fine. So now let's do that. That's what he's talking about. Kegon de kodel Kohen iluye. The Kohen says, I'm ready to accept this in lieu of 5 shkalim. The other of Kahana, we know an actual case where if Kahana once accepted Shokil Sudra Mibe Pidyon HaBen, went into Pidyon HaBen, they gave him a Sudra. I mean, a Sudra is something you wrap your head with. It's never worth, it's like a handkerchief. It's never worth Chamisha Shkalim. Nonetheless, he went and accepted it for the Pidyon HaBen because he said, Omar, look, Lididi, Chazi L'Chamesh Shlaim. For me, this kerchief is worth 5 sela. Says Rav Ashba, you can't just arbitrarily make a statement like that. Lo amar ela kegon Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana is a gavur rab. He's a famous man. He cannot be walking around the street without a kippah. Because this was what they used as a kippah in those days. So if he would be caught without a kippah, then he'd say, okay, so for me, I'll pay 5 shekel. Let me have a kippah, right? So he's buying it because he needs it. But stam, a person is going to come and take something and say arbitrarily, to me it's worth chamisha shkalim. That's just a joke. Why would it be worth chamisha shkalim to a regular person? So he, since he's a gavur rabu, umiboyle sudra resha, a man like that has got to have a sudra on his head, because otherwise it's a terrible embarrassment. So over there we can accept it as the chamisha shkalim. Avakule amalo. But you can't simply arbitrarily take it as that value. Ki odamar baravashi. There's other cases where people actually were willing to pay more because for them it was necessary. So mar baravashi was once caught short, and he zovan sudra mi'ime derabi. He bought a kerchief from Rabba's mother, from Rabba Mikobi's mother, shavi asora. It was just a 10 zuz kind of thing, and he paid 13. Just did have her let it go because he needed it. So you see that it's possible that people will get caught and they'll need something, but it's not just an arbitrary kind of thing.
Commodities are very much like that. I mean, a commodity-based product, when it's in less than necessity, where it's worth 10 rand, and if somebody needs it right now, you'll pay 150 rand for it.
That's true, exactly. That's why the Rambam actually makes this a general statement about commodity-based things. There are Rishonim who argue, and take this very literally, the Rambam says it's only because we're talking about a Sutter. At least that's how the Mefarshim explain the Rambam. It's only because we're talking about something which is so grossly overpriced, if you're going to call it Kamishash Kalim, that it's got to be because there's like an emergency need for it. But generally speaking, things that are commodities, it makes sense for a perfect person to say, look, you know, I need it right now. I need batteries. I got to record this year. You know, so I'm ready to pay three times as much as I would usually pay for a battery. I know if I had 10 minutes, I could run out and pick it up for you know, one third the price, but I'll pay more.
What did you charge Rabbi for the
price? Omar Rabbi Elazar. A man says to a woman, "Itkachili b'mon." Okay, I'm going to give you 100 dinar. And he gives her one dinar. One deposit. That's already a good kedusha. Yashalim obviously has to pay her the rest of the money. My time, and why do we view it as a kedusha, despite the fact that he didn't give the money that he said he would give? Because kivan d'amar l'mon, the yoyev la dinar, contextually, I mean, it's a joke. He says, I'm going to give you a mana, and he hands over one dinar. So clearly, it's the equivalent of saying, kaman d'amar l'almanata. I mean, in other words, look, you be Mekudesha to me, I'm telling you, I promise you I'm going to give you a dinner. If I don't give you a dinner, if I don't give you the mana, there won't be any Kedusha. But now he's just handing over this coin in order to formalize the Kedusha with a Kenyan based on this coin. It's a Kenyan with a condition, like any other condition. A man can make a Kedusha, and he can say, this should be a Kedusha, on condition that by the end of 30 days, I get you R500,000. Perfectly okay. So contextually, we understand that that is what happened over here, and therefore, he has to go ahead and be mashlim, but lamaisa, there's nothing to do now, but the kedusha is a real kedusha. She accepted this dinner. She can't say, well, I didn't get it yet, so I'm giving it to you. Yeah, but I changed my mind. It's too late. And since he said almanat, Ravuna Amarav gives a general halacha that kol omer almanat kevamer shabtam. So when you make a condition, what you mean is that it should take place now. Like Abarabi says, I'm going to give you 100 dinar. He starts counting them out. 1, 2, 3. And then, all of a sudden, she says, you know what? This is not a good idea. Never mind. I don't want the Kiddush. Or he changes his mind. If one of them changes their mind, even if it's at the 99th dinner, it's fine. Feel the dinner achron, her should be yado. Now that means that until the full amount is transferred, the kedushin is not a kedushin. You're claiming that the way I view this situation is that the first piece that I transfer is meant as a kinyan, and the rest of it is just a condition. Now how do you explain this? You see, talking about it's a different case. It's talking about over here when he said itkachili b'mona, not itkachili b'mona, any mona. Rather, I've got 100 dinar right here. I want you with this 100 dinar to be my wife. So with this 100 dinar, so then obviously you're not just promising an ultimate transfer of money. You're saying, when I give you over this 100 dinar, then you will be my wife. Okay, but that didn't happen. So obviously they can have charata. Says the Gemara, no, that's not the case. Excuse me, that's definitely not the case. Because if you take a look at the continuation of this braita, the next case is that case. So obviously the first case was not that case. Because the next case reads like this. If the next case in the braita is talking about a case where you did say this particular 100, then clearly the resha was talking about any 100, b'monestam, and nonetheless it's saying we don't view it as a condition, we view it as an actual act of kinyan, and it's not going to be completed until the whole thing is transferred. What am I referring to here in the Sefer Katani Sefer? Take a look now what it says here. Amarla hitkachili b'monezo. I'm going to give you this 100 dinar. Okay? And then Nimtza Monachaser dinner. It turns out that this was only 99 dinar. Or for that matter, one of the dinarim was not made out of kesef. One of the dinarim was made out of nechoshet. So it doesn't have full value. And this was at night, she didn't see it and didn't realize it. Well, you can't say, well, she accepted it. So then, einam mekudeshet. If one of the dinarot is a dinar ra, which we'll define later on, so then, areze mekudeshet, but he's going to have to exchange the poor quality dinner for a full quality dinner, v'yachlif. Anyway, do you see that here the Braita specified monazo? Right? First case, Braita didn't specify manazo. Obviously, the first case in the Braita is talking about manastam. This case is talking about manazo. And you're up the creek without a paddle because the Braita says that you're wrong. And that we do not look at it as an added condition. We look at it as the entire definition of the kinyan. Says the Gemara, No, I don't accept this argument at all. It may well be that the Reisha and the Seifa are both talking about Bamonazo, and when we get to the Seifa, I mean, look, we're not talking about the same case, obviously. We're adding new issues over here. The quality of the coin, is it dinner nechoshet? Was it chaser? I mean, the fact that I changed what you think is I changed the case is not true. Sometimes what I will do is to clarify the case. I will add an additional word when I'm now adding other factors. So I say, and in the same case where you say manazu and one of them was no good. That's all it means. So basically, both the Reisha and Sefer talking about manazu and Pirushika Mefaresh, all that it's doing is explaining. So in other words, this is the way to read the Braisa. Ratza echad miyam lachzor afilu b'din ha'acharon. Harashut b'yado. Keitzad. That's the point. So one of them now wants to change their mind, even if it's the very last coin. They can. But when can they? Ah, in the next case you will see. When can they? Monazu is when they can. And by the way, I know you, what are you thinking? You're thinking, ah, come on, how are you going to switch the bright around like that? That's so unreasonable. It's not unreasonable. As a matter of fact, it's much more reasonable than saying it the other way. It's very reasonable that this is the way to read the Braita. Because look, let's think for a moment how the Braita reads if you are right. Okay? So look at how illogical it is. If you think that the first case was talking about any old mana, he never mentioned this mana. He said, no, a mana. And now, this new case is talking about mana zo. So now ask yourself, if we've already stated that b'mona stam lo have a kiddushin, the first case was, we don't view it as a kiddushin because it's not a condition, so then, I mean, it follows if it's not a kiddushin until the entire thing is transferred. So if you gave 99, you didn't transfer it. I mean, what am I, stupid? That you got to come down telling me, oh, that was b'mona stam, but if you said b'mona zo, for God's sake, if manastam was already enough to say that it's not a tnai, and that it was really meant, even though you say this bag of 100 dinars, I'll give you 100 dinar, it still meant that it wasn't considered to be kedusha until the entire thing was transferred. So koshikain, if you say manazu, so then the braita would be being absolutely unnecessary. The closing part of the braita is talking to idiots. Therefore, I suggest the opposite. The closing part of the braita is coming to say, don't make the mistake of thinking that the initial case was a case of manastam, because in that case, yours truly would be right. If you said manastam, then it was a condition. So if anything, the braita proves my contention. Ha-ha. So, therefore, let's see it inside then. Hakinami Mistava, the Isakadaita Resha Bamanastam, Hashta Bamanastam Lohavi Kedushe, Bamanazumi Boy. So you see, the only way to interpret the Braita is the way I'm interpreting it. The last case of the Braita is now defining the first case. No. Imishumha, if that's all you have to say for yourself, lo iri. To me, that doesn't prove anything. Because we may have another situation here. The other situation being that sometimes a braita is constructed in such a way that the last part clarifies the first part specifically by making it clear that you shouldn't make a mistake. And therefore, I would say, Tanu Sefer Gliaration. The last part is there to make it clear to you what the Rashi was talking about. Shalot Tomar, that you should not try to say, like you, sir, are trying to say, that the Rashi is talking about Manazut. But certainly, Bamona Stam, it would be a Kedusha because it's not a Tanai. Comes on the Brighter now to add a case. Here's a case of a Manazut. Aha, so when you read Manazut, what does that tell you that the original case was? Manastam, which proves my contention that Manastam is indeed not considered to be a Tanai, and you have to give every last one of those coins over. And therefore, it says it in this fashion, so that you say, ah, this is the case of Manazu. But the first case indeed was the case of Manastam. So Tana Sefer Manazu, in order to teach you that the Rashi was talking about Manastam, and Afilu Hachi Lo Avi Kedushin. And that's the whole point, is that even though it is a monastam, it's not considered to be Kedushin, because you, Rabbi Elazar, are wrong. That's why. And the Bright is coming to make it clear that you're wrong. QED. Ravashi Yama. Ravashi says, I don't know what you guys are arguing about. This Bright has nothing to do with the case. Nothing to do with the case at all. It's talking about, can't you read what it says? It's talking about the guy starts to count it out. Well, obviously, he's counting it out. It's not a condition. He says, I'm being Bekadesh with a mana. 1, 2, 3. So what do you go 1, 2, 3? If this is a condition, what do you have to go 1, 2, 3 for? So that clarifies that what he's talking about, I don't care whether he said mana zu, mana stam. The moment he starts counting, over there, da'ata kule. Obviously, so now she's waiting to get it. When he gets up to 98 and she says, forget it, I don't want to get married to you. So clearly she'd never been Makaba the Kedushin yet, because she's waiting while he's counting. And with each coin, she's getting more and more nervous. So when he gets up to 98, that's when she pulls out. But Einachinami, if she would have accepted one dinner and there was no attempt now to start counting out and something, then we would explain it maybe like Rabbi Elazar, but this is irrelevant. The bright has nothing to do with the case. All right, you said that one of the coins... Getting back now to the case, just I'm curious. You said, it turns out that one of the dinner was made out of copper. So why did she take it? What do you mean, nimtza? I mean, he's counting it out. He's counting it out, so she knew it was copper. She can't now suddenly say, well, I decided I don't like the copper. I mean, hechidami. Idi yadabe asavra vikibla. I mean, if he's counting it, so she knew about it, so then she understood and accepted it in lieu of a regular dinner. No, let's see. The oven in lab alayla. I could be talking about he's giving it to her at night in the dark, or maybe he gives her the whole package. And she didn't notice that there in this group of five, one of them was in a choshet. Okay, and what's the meaning of a dinner ra? I mean, you say it was a bad dinner. When we say bad, what does that mean? I mean, echidami idelo nafik. If it's a bad dinner in the sense that you can't use it, so then. Then it's the same thing as the case of a dinner shel nechoshet. I mean, it's even worse. A dinner shel nechoshet, at least it's worth something. Over here, tell me it's a bad dinner, I can't negotiate with it. So, ein dinner shel nechoshet, obviously it's not going to work. Rav Papa, no. The case is bad dinner means that you'll have certain people will come and tell you, I don't take coins like that. Yeah, I'm sure this has happened to you. I won't take a bill like that. I don't take torn bills. You know, so you go to another guy and you find somebody who will take it. That's the point. So she cannot say the value wasn't transferred. Because the bottom line is, if she takes the trouble, she'll find somebody who's ready to accept it. She'll buy something and give it with it. She's buying another something for 100 grand, so put in one of these. He's not going to start making a fuss. But she's not mechuyev to take that trouble. So he has to change it for a v'yachliv. He's the one that has to take that trouble. But the truth is, though, that the entire value was transferred. So therefore, what it's talking about, says Rav Papa, Om Rav Papa, it's talking about that we're putting it out, but putting out with a lot of difficulty, so therefore, technically speaking, it is the correct value. However, it's something that he's going to have to make up to her. Om Rav, Om Rav Nachman, Omar La Yitkachili B'man, how about if he says, you are going to be Mekadesh to me with the 100 dinar. I don't have it right now, but take my watch. very expensive watch, here's my Rolex, I'm going to come back with 100 dinars for you. So iniach la mashkon aleha. And now, she wants to change her mind. What's the deal? Ain't a kedusha. There's no kedusha over here, because look, the money ain't gone. I mean, there was no transference of that money, never paid it. And the mashkan, what is the mashkan? The mashkan wasn't given to her to keep. Mashkan ain't kan. The mashkan was just there to show that he's a trustworthy guy. Great, you're a trustworthy guy. I'm sure some woman will appreciate you. Here's your Rolex and goodbye. So how would I be able to make a kinyan with a mashkan? Case for three. Esve Ravel Rav Nachman kitcha b'mashkan mikudeshet. How could you say it's not a good kedushin? Here it says beferish that it is a good kedushin. How to explain that? Kitcha b'mashkan doesn't mean the mashkan that I gave you for the money that I'm going to pay you. Kitcha b'mashkan means somebody owed me money. They gave me their Rolex. They never pay me. So I take the Rolex and I say, you know what? I don't believe the guy's ever going to pay me. So I go and I give the Rolex to a woman and I say, you should be Mekudesha to me with this guy's Rolex. So over there, it is a good Kedusha. Why is it a good Kedusha? Rabbi Yitzchak. The Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Minayin leBa'al Chov Shekone Mashkon. How do we know that a Ba'al Chov that takes a Mashkon, that Mashkon is his, he has actual Kinyonim in it. The Torah talks about if you took something that somebody needs, let's say you take from an oni who owes you money, you take his pillow. So over there the Torah says you're going to have to give him back his pillow at night. So hashev tashiv lo et ha'avot, give lo ha'shamash. As the sun sets, give it back to him. Pick it up in the morning. And then it closes with, ulechot yetzedaka, this will be a charitable act in your credit, lifnei Hashem Elokecha. This says Rabbi Yitzchak, what do you mean? A charitable act. Im eno kone tzedaka minai. What do you mean? It's not a charitable act. It's not yours. It's just there in order to assert your right to collect. So if this guy needs it, meanwhile, you have to let him use it. He'll give it back to you. That's all that it is. It's just a formality so that you don't have to go through the court procedures. Elamai, if the Torah is telling you that it's an actual act of tzedakah, it must be yours. Since it's yours, so then that means if I go ahead and I'm a Kaddish and Isha with it, it's a kosher kedushin. That's the point over here of the mashkan. So mikan the Ba'al Chov shekoneh mashkan. But in a case where I give a woman a mashkan and as a guarantee that I'm going to pay her, how did I affect the kedusha? B'nei Rav Huna Bar Ovin had a story like this, where they were zoven ahi amta b'priti. So they made this deal that they're going to buy for a certain amount of money a particular ama as a servant, and they didn't have cash. So lo avi b'avdayu, they didn't have cash, and ativi naskale. So they went and they gave instead an ingot of metal that was worth a lot of money. So it's like they gave a Rolex. And they came to bring the money. It turned out that the value of the slave market had gone up, and this woman was worth much more than she had been originally, and the seller wanted to pull out. So they came to Rav Ami because the B'nai Rav Huna claimed that since they had given the Rolex, that would be a good kinyan. And then now all they want to do is exchange the cash for the Rolex, to take the Rolex back, but that actually Kenyan had been effectuated by the Mashkan. So Rav Ami said to them, sorry, gentlemen, priti ein kan, no tiki, no ama, maska ein kan. You didn't give the money, you didn't give the Rolex, you didn't give anything. All you did was promise and guarantee it with a Rolex. Big deal. Same exact halacha that we had here with the Isha.
Why is the Isha not coin of the Mashkan? But
that her herself be kodesh mashkan?
Yeah.
Well, the first thing you got to ask yourself is, what really does this have to do with the dinner of Rabbi Yitzchak? Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha is talking about a case where the person is defaulting on the loan. Not that you give the mashkan initially as a loan. So anyway, on the surface, it doesn't seem really to follow Rabbi Yitzchak. This does exist. But over here, where I don't owe you money, I only promise you money, for sure it's not Nergiah, the din of Rabbi Yitzchak, right? So it's only because of the fact that the money's already owed, then you could say, I have kinyonim in it, because of my collection. But as a guarantee of a promise, there's nobody in his right mind who would say that there would be kinyonim based on the diyuk of Rabbi Yitzchak. Tanarabban, how about itkachili bimona? Somebody says to a woman, okay, I'm giving you these 100 dinar as my kedushin. She promptly takes it and throws the whole thing into the ocean. So she's zarakto layam, or she throws it into a fire and burns the whole thing up, whatever it is, she gets rid of it on the spot. Ain't a mekudeshet. So then, it's not a good kedushin. What are you trying to say? What do you mean? It's not a good kedushin. Why? Because of the fact that she burnt it up, and if she had just thrown it down on the ground in front of his face, I mean, then it would be a good kedushin. She's being rather graphic about her desire for this kedushin. So what does it have to do with burning it up? What does it have to do with destroying it? Even if she would just throw it back at him, just like we say, she threw it back in his face. I mean, it's even an expression that we use for complete rejection. So why do we need that she has to burn it up? Are you trying to tell me I should Tino Kame have a kedushin? So she threw it in his face, then it is? I mean, how come like Shkil? She's saying, take it. Lo Bein, I don't want it. So why do we need the fire over here? No, it's just the opposite. Don't you understand? Of course, if she threw it in his face, then it's a rejection. But over here, it's coming to say, even in a case where she destroyed it, it's rejected. What do you mean, even? Because, lo mi bai ka'amar. In other words, lo mi bai shalatina kameh, de lo avi kedushin. But you might have thought, okay, that's because she gave it back. But if she throws it into something that's going to destroy it, so she's going to have to pay him back. This is costing her a lot of money, this gesture. I mean, do we really believe that she's that upset that she's willing to be paying this back now for the next few years? Or perhaps what she's doing is she's saying, okay, good kedushin, now we'll see what kind of temper you have. Hee hee, and she throws it at the Leon. Right? I mean, might as well check you out. I guess it would have been better before, but heck, I might as well know what I'm getting into. So maybe, Emak, even in Mechayavavu, since now she is going to be mechuyevet to pay it back, so actually she was mekabel the kedusha that is hers. So therefore, the kedusha kadosh nafsha. Vodaka avda haki. So why is she acting like a meshugana? Because so far, if the case she figured, okay, let's get to the Kool Aid acid test over here. If the kelai gaver iratchana vulo, let's see how he's able to hold his temper. Kamash Milan, no. We don't look at that far-fetched explanation. And instead what we say is, she can't stand the guy, and she's so angry, she's probably not clearly thinking about the consequences, but she's definitely rejecting him. Tana Rabbana, Hitkachili Bamana, and she says to him, that? T'neim La'aba, go give it to my dad. Or, T'neim La'avicha, give it to your father. So in that case, ena mekudeshet, it's not a good kedusha. Now, obviously we just had this morning a case where she was able to say, give money to so-and-so, and I will be mekudeshet on the basis of you giving the money to so-and-so. So why over here when she's so-and-so is her dad or his dad, why is that worse than saying, give the money to so-and-so? So Rashi explains it. Obviously, that's because in that case, she sets it up in that fashion. Give money to so-and-so, and I will be mekudeshet to you. But over here, what she's saying is, you know, instead of giving me the money, why don't you just give it to your dad? Or, you know, my father could use some extra money. Give it to him. So in that case, we have no reason to say that she is seriously talking about accepting kedusha on the basis of the pleasure that she has with the fact that it's going to be given to the father.
So she's rejecting him, basically.
She's rejecting him.
Go give it to your dad.
Yeah. I'm not interested. On the other hand, if she says, look, I'm willing to accept the kedushin on condition, al menachi kabluni, on condition that my father will accept this money under those circumstances, or that your father will accept this money for me on my behalf under these circumstances, meaning that she wants to know what the parents think about this, so then, okay, and if it's acceptable, so then Einachinami, she's saying, as long as the parents feel this is a good idea, I'm ready to go along. I'm not interested in accepting the condition if my father's against it or if your father's against it, as the case may be. So, therefore, it talks about two cases. Tana Abba, Lodiacha Koach Doresha. So the case which talked about her own father, That's coming to tell me that even in the ratio, even though it's her father, and then you'd say, maybe she's really serious. Maybe she wants her father to get money. And even though she didn't say almanat, she really does want her father to have that money, and she's willing to be mekudeshet based on the value of the money that has been given to her father. No, kamash malan, it's still no good. The case of tna la'avicha, where she says, give it to your father, over there, it's lo'diach ha'korach t'seifa. That's to tell me that even though you might think, well, I understand if she said almanat, that my father will accept it, that's because she wants her father's opinion. But if she's saying, well, you know, you can give it to your father, see if he's interested in accepting the condition for me, then that's just stamma rejection. So it's coming to tell me, no, that actually in that case, it's considered to be a serious response, and if her future father-in-law is necha, he could be mekablet for her. Now, in other cases, hitkachili b'mona, to name leploni. How about if she says, give it just to so-and-so, not somebody that's related to her. Over there as well, ainam akudesha. Almenachi kablemli, if she says there too, on condition that so-and-so will accept the money for me, then she is mekudesha. And we need both of these cases. We need the case of father or your father, and a separate case of ploni. Why? Because the iashmin and abba be'avich, I would say, yeah, over there where she says, over there when she says on condition that they will take the kedushin for me, she's being serious because there's some chadaita alayu. Over there, she really wants them to accept the kedushin for her, and she believes that if they want the marriage, they're going to accept the kedushin for her, and there will be good shluchim for her. Mashenka, when it's ploni, she's not serious. Give it to him. If he's ready to take it and accept it, why in the world would he be ready to take it and accept it? She has no smichas das on such a thing. She's just getting rid of the guy. So over there, I might think, avo ploni lo. On the other case, okay, so then just tell me the case of ploni. So yashmin ploni, then I would have said, sure, that's because the reason it's not kedushin in the reisha is because hachiyu dechiyamet name lo ploni. If she's saying, just give it to a guy on the street, so obviously she's rejecting him. Over there, I understand. So, lo avi kedusha lo makara daita lagabe lemeit v'leibah matana. Well, what do we think? She's so friendly with Ploni that she wants Ploni to take her mona? Aval abba ve'avich. On the other hand, where we're talking about something that is in the family or will be in the family, over there, the makara daita lagabeu, there she is interested, perhaps, in showing. This is, she wants her father to have money. She wants to show that she cares about her future father-in-law. So maybe over there, indeed, she intends to give it to them as a gift. So, ima b'matana yavitani alayu. Therefore, tzricha. Tana rabbanan. Hikachili b'mona. Somebody says to a woman, be mekudeshet to me for a mona. And she says, okay, put it over there on that stone. I don't want to touch it. So, teyam agavi sela. Ina mekudeshet. Of course, if the sela belonged to her, so then, that's not viewed as a rejection. It's viewed as, let my property be kaina for me. So you may ask, Sela Shalom Mekudeshet. Boy, Rav Bibi, Akiva, you're in. Sela Shal Shneem Mahu. What would be the din if they both own the Sela? So then, is she throwing it back in his face? You could put it down on the Sela. In other words, keep your rotten mana. Or, and she's saying, well, that's my desk too, so. Put it on my desk. So then what? I have no idea. I don't know what that means. Itkachili bikikar. How about we got some very cute cases coming? Itkachili bikikar. He says, okay, you be mekadesh to me with this loaf of bread. So she says, loaf of bread, that loaf of bread, give it to the dog. Tanei ola kelev. Fein mekadesh. But if it was her dog, so then, Imaya Kelev Shalom Mekudeshet. Boy, Rav Mori, but how about if a dog was chasing her, huh? How about then? And she says, give it to the dog! So what about over there? So Kelev Rotzach Re'amau. So do we say, Be'ahu ana'adaka matzah nafsha mine gomer makanyalay nafsha? So is she saying, it's worth it to get married to that guy and not be attacked by that dog? Is that the pshat? Oh, Dilmi Motzi Amrila, maybe she can say, look, buddy, you had a chiyuv to save me from that dog. So, midiraita, chiyuv mechayav to lutzulan. I mean, you were supposed to save me from the dog, It's at least Hashavas Aveda, maybe in Al Tamar Al Damri Echa. So if I couldn't get you like an idiot to see what's going on, so I said give it to the dog, but I certainly had no intention of taking that as my condition. It's your problem. So what's the deal? That's another take. How about a case where he says he's catching Libi Kikar and she says give it to the poor? So then Enim Akudeshet. In that case, it would be true even if it's her ani, meaning even if it's an ani that usually she gives money to all the time, so that then you can say the same thing as the case where it's her dog. I mean, she obviously wants the hana of it being given to the dog. No. There, afilu ani hasamuchala. My time. Why is that? Because Amrala, here she could say to him, excuse me, what do you mean my ani? I mean, ki eichad mechayav nebe'ana, how can you chayav tebe'at? You have as much responsibility to take care of that ani as I have to take care of that ani. So how about looking at this as a little lesson that I wanted to teach you? You see an ani, you have a kikar, you come to me, how about being mekadesha to me? Please take care of the poor. That's all I'm telling you. So therefore, why didn't you go ahead and take care of him? I certainly had no intention of accepting it as Kedushin and then having the hana of giving it to what you're calling my money. Okay, we'll see for the cases tomorrow. Wow. Good.